This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Tell you what now, the Gate City is really kind of the epicenter of what NCAA basketball will be next week, certainly, with the first and second round. And the great people here, the Greensboro Sports Foundation, PAC, Greensboro Sports Council, they do a great job.
They love it. And, and again, the cool thing to me about Greensboro hosting this week, and again, this whole 3 weeks, this is a great basketball town. I mean, they just get it. And they want folks who are coming into town to have a great time. The basketball people are talking about it. You go, I don't care what restaurant, what bar you go to. Games are on. People are talking about the matchups. Again, it just feels right in Greensboro. Always does.
Jacob Camacho is going to join us. He was the most valuable wrestler at the ACC Wrestling Championships in Pittsburgh over the weekend. He was the 125-pound champ. Upsetting Jack Mueller. He'll join us coming up at 8:15. Jim Larinaga, Miami, also in this hour with Packer and Durham.
And just so folks know, today there is practice. I know we have the two games, one this afternoon and the one tonight. West will be calling Virginia Tech in North Carolina. But practices start day two. It practices yesterday. Practice is here today. So beginning at 9 a.m., Miami will be here. At 10 a.m., it's Notre Dame. 11, it's Clemson. And you got Syracuse and NC State at noon and 1, respectively. So while it's quiet here in our arena, beginning at 9 a.m. during the power hour, there will be some activity behind us. So just give folks the heads up that we have practice going on.
Don't tell anybody you're seeing the practice.
It's open to the media, but not the public.
Don't tell anybody. We're letting you in. It's a special Packer and Durham kind of like bonus coverage, right?
You're looking like live.
Live look-in, as it were. All right, here's Carolina tonight. Now, why do you say, well, Carolina's the 14 seed. Does it matter? Yes, because it's Carolina. There are a lot of things that haven't gone right for the Tar Heels this year. And I talked to Roy Williams yesterday during the practice, and I asked him, I said, you always talk about what you learn in a coaching experience, right? And every team is different. You talk to the most successful coaches of all time in anything, and they always talk about how every team is ultimately different. And I said, you feel like you're getting right. He said, well, it's certainly good to have all of the personnel we can potentially have on the floor out there, okay? The second thing he indicated was, I asked him, I said, well, what have you learned? He said, let me finish the season, and I'll tell you what I've learned. He said, because there are a couple things that have come into play. He said, but I want to see how the season plays out. And I asked him how much of the last couple of weeks has influenced what he's going to learn. And he said, I've learned a lot here in the last couple of weeks about maximizing what we have and the way we're playing. I think they're going to be interesting to now, do I think they can win 3, 4, 5 games? I don't know.
Yeah, you do. You just told me on the confidence meter you think they could win the tournament. I was listening to
you. But there were
you.
7 other teams ahead of them.
I get that.
Okay.
But you just told me that you thought they could win the tournament based on your 8 teams on your list.
All right.
Some of us were being real. I think there's 4 that can win it.
Okay. But when you look at Carolina, if it ends tonight, they'll be the first team since Indiana in the late 1960s to be ranked in the top 5.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to call BS on that. You know why?
Why?
Because preseason polls don't mean squat. They don't mean squat in football. They don't mean squat in hoops. That is nothing more than projection. Had you told me that North Carolina would have been healthy all year and Cole Anthony's playing every game, and, you know, this we wouldn't be talking about North Carolina in the 14 spot.
Right.
So all those preseason projections were under the premise that North Carolina, intact and healthy, could have been a top 5 or top 10 team. Do you agree with that?
I do.
Now, what I will tell you is, if North Carolina doesn't make it to the quarters, that will be newsworthy. It's only happened once in the history of their incredible basketball program that North Carolina has not reached the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament, and that was in 2010.
Right.
But this North Carolina team this year has been a complete disconnect. They've not been able to stay healthy. Plus, when they've been relatively healthy, they've not been good inside tight games. Mm-hmm. When you're 1-6 and 3-pointers, hey, you're going to have a down year. Do I expect them to stay there? No, they'll be back. When we get to hanging around next year for the tournament, we're not going to be talking about North Carolina as a double-digit seeded team in this league. They've just had one of those years. I'm not going to read too much into the whole preseason stuff, though.
So, what do you, if you think the bracket, the way the bracket's laid out, Virginia Tech tonight.
Winnable.
Syracuse tomorrow.
Certainly winnable. They just blew them out in the dome.
And then you're looking at a Louisville team they played once without Garrison Brooks.
Well, they played them at Louisville, and Louisville's a better team than North Carolina.
Sure.
But can North Carolina beat Louisville in this building? Sure. No doubt.
And Louisville wobbled a little bit late.
But if you're telling me my life depends on it, and I get Louisville with 2 days rest and North Carolina playing on their third straight game,
right,
I'll pick Louisville to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's common sense. But North Carolina's a talented group when they are healthy. So when you're asking Roy yesterday all these questions, I'm sure Roy's seen it all this year in terms of injuries and just getting into some cohesive rhythm.
Right.
I mean, really, for the first time we felt that way about North Carolina was when they went on the winning streak.
I agree.
When they knocked off NC State and looked good doing it. They put 90-plus on the road at Syracuse, no big deal. They played a Wake Forest team, put 90 on them again. We talked about North Carolina all year. Man, they just can't score. There's no transition offense. So counter to anything that we traditionally watch with North Carolina hoops, they weren't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, they're relatively healthy, and there's a spark and kind of an energy about, hey, man, don't sleep on the heels. You shouldn't sleep on North Carolina when they're healthy. But this year has just been one of those deals, though. I mean, I think it's just, to me, it's kind of an aberration. Not who they are.
I think one of the more curious dynamics with Carolina is going to be they are an excellent rebounding team, especially at the offensive end. Sometimes in events like this, teams start cold. Sometimes they start hot, obviously. But when teams start cold, it really comes down to the defensive end of the floor and what you can do on the glass. The one thing that doesn't work to Carolina's favor in this event, Pack, is turnover margin. That's the one area where it's not been a good number for them. Now, has it gotten better as the year's gone on? Sure it has. But on the whole, Carolina's got to be careful with the turnover margin.
I think a bigger issue is that for North Carolina to get where they want to be in the NCAA tournament, they have to go W, 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 W. And for a team that won 6 in 4 months in the league to win 5 in 5 days, I think that's asking too much. I think the game tonight, you mentioned rebounding. Virginia Tech mentioned it about an hour ago. When they make shots, they are tough out. There are no rebounds when the Hokies are hot from beyond the arc. Mm-hmm. If they don't make threes, I don't know how Virginia Tech's going to be competitive in this game.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I think Virginia Tech's fortunes are going to ride with Landers Nolly.
No, all these guys. I mean, when they make shots, they're a fun team.
And he really fought it down the stretch.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And for Mike Young, and we said this earlier, Carolina tonight, but Mike Young has done a really nice job. Remember, 10 months ago, he had 6 guys on the roster.
Their 4 leading scorers are all freshmen. And that there's kind of a theme with this league this year, how young it is. That's why I keep thinking next season, ACC hoops, I think it's going to be unbelievably good. A team like Virginia Tech, who are just kind of like, yeah, well, you know what? It's a work in progress for Coach Young. You know what? The Hokies next year, with those guys coming back, your experience going through this, Coach Young going through it for the first time, man, the future is incredibly bright, I think, in Blacksburg. I think there's a lot of teams. Georgia Tech, who's not even here, we talked about them a bunch, Wes.
Right.
Future is bright. I have no doubt that the Blue Bloods and now the new blood in Florida State, I mean, this league is going to be dynamite next season. Yeah. Dynamite.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. But Carolina, Virginia Tech is game 2. First game tonight is Wake Forest and Pittsburgh, and our coverage begins here from the Coliseum at 4 o'clock with nothing but net, and then the ball game start at 4:30. So Luke Hancock will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour, along with Mike Bray. Jim Larranega comes up bottom of the hour, and here in a moment we'll talk to Jacob Camacho as well from NC State.
You think he goes by Camacho Man? Do we know that?
Say it again.
Do we think that Jacob Camacho goes by the Camacho Man? It's wrestling, man. We have jumped on the wrestling bandwagon. NC State wins the ACC title. We now move on to the Nationals. We got tons of talent. We have 4 teams in the top 10.
I'm
telling you, this wrestling thing, when the first night that we did the duels on ACC Network, I sent a text to all you guys and said, man, we have really missed out on wrestling. And now look where we are now. We're at the ACC tournament.
We're getting ready to talk to
Jacob.
We're
in Greensboro. And what are we getting ready to do?
Yeah.
We're getting ready to talk wrestling.
Hey, by the way, I want you on record. How far can Carolina go here?
I think they win a couple games.
Okay.
I think they can.
Quarterfinals.
I think they can win 2.
Okay. So they get to Thursday.
I think they can get to Friday.
Really?
I think they can beat Virginia Tech. I think they are going to beat Virginia Tech. I think they are going to beat Syracuse.
Then they beat Louisville?
I think that's the coin flip. That's the coin for me. Sitting here on a Tuesday morning, that's where I am in North Carolina.
Got your light blue shirt on, and you're telling everybody the quarterfinals.
That's it. You know I'm a...
Yeah, you're a what?
I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
Oh, not as much as you are.
No, you're very optimistic. I think that's the first thing I always think of when I see you is optimistic. Never been a pessimistic word spoken. Don't forget, the ACC tournament rolls on. Second round games are tomorrow here at the Coliseum in Greensboro. And you know how we do this. We got you covered. Previews of matchups and more.
All day, right? And,
yeah, all day, starting at 7.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Again, practices will start here in about 45 minutes or so, give or take. And we've got the coaches. We got all kinds of stuff between now and 10 a.m. But right now, though, West Durham, we're going to switch gears. And
champions.
I know we got basketball in the brain.
Yeah, we do.
But we just had the wrestling championships in Pittsburgh. NC State wins the team event and multiple individuals as well. And with that said, we bring on Jacob Camacho, who took care of business in the Buck 25 department. And that was a big deal. Jacob, first of all, congratulations. Man, that was a huge win for you and the team this past weekend. That was out of sight.
Thank you. Yeah, that was, it was a very fun experience. I'll remember this one for a while.
Jack Mueller joined us last week and, we were bragging about him and, you know, you had to face him in the championship match. What was going through your head at that point in time? Cause this guy is a tough customer, man.
I just knew he was a very tough competitor. I mean, he was a national finalist last year, so I knew I had to bring my A game. I knew he was going to bring his A game, so I just, the only thing going through my mind was wrestling. I do this because I love it, and I went out there and I just performed. So the only thing going through my head was, let's go out there and have fun.
Jacob, I got to be honest with you. You strike me with the glasses, and the, I mean, you don't look like the type that would go draw that deal up and, you know, and get after cats. I mean, but yet here you are. You're the most valuable wrestler at the ACC championship. You're busting the code a little bit here of what we think wrestling is. And I mean, but yet you're obviously very successful at this. What's the secret to your success when it comes to the competition of this?
I don't think there's a secret, honestly. I think I just go out there and I just wrestle. I want to go out there and compete and just show how good I can be. I'm at my best. My goal is to be the best person I can be, the best wrestler I can be. And with that said, if I can look myself in the mirror at the end of the day and say I'm proud of myself, then I think I accomplished something.
And you're doing this as a redshirt freshman, but yet I'm going to guess that the hard work's paying off here.
Yeah, I mean, I've been wrestling for a long time, and it's all accumulating at the right time. All the hard work I've put in since the redshirt year, the summer leading into this year, the beginning of this year, all the ups, the downs, the peaks, the valleys, they're all coming together at the right time.
You know, call me crazy, Jacob, but I think you're kind of faking us out. I think the whole Clark Kent glasses thing, you look like you're calm, cool, and collected, but I think when you get on the mat, man, you are an assassin is what I think. I think this is a total setup.
Yeah, no, it could be a little bit. Maybe I'm coming in with, like you said, the Clark Kent vibe. But, yeah, you know, it's a little something different.
All right, when we had Jack on, I'm intrigued more now because I think when people think about college wrestling, they think, you know, bigger guys, stronger guys, longer. But the 125 is starting to pique my interest here a little bit because – not only are you guys incredibly strong, it's one of those deals where you're not that big, so a lot more athleticism comes into play. So what's the most important attribute to being successful at 125 in college wrestling?
I'd probably say timing. I mean, you're going to wrestle someone that's extremely fast, you're going to wrestle someone that's extremely athletic, and there is no way around it. But I think timing is something that you can't really teach, and it's something that benefits you tremendously with somebody that's super fast and athletic is being able to see things when they haven't even happened yet, but you know they're going to happen, so you can time a certain thing and get to your offense, your defense, and anything you really want in that position.
Jacob, I know it's an individual sport from that perspective, but as a team, you've got to feel like incredibly honored in the sense that, hey, you're part of something that's growing now with NC State wrestling and really this league, as good as it is with four teams in the top 10. We know it's an individual sport, but what's it like being part of this really dynasty that's being built right now with NC State wrestling?
Oh, it means the world to me. To be a part of this team is something that I've dreamed of. It's something that I will cherish. Like I said in a couple interviews, my teammates, my coaches, they're family. When one of us goes to war, we all go to war. And to be able to share this season with them so far is an honor. And it's blissful to go out there and compete with my brothers and being able to say, hey, we're doing the right things. We work hard day in, day out, and to be able to share this moment with them, it means everything.
All right, so now you guys win, obviously, the ACC title, so you move on here. What's the transition from the conference championship to the Nationals look like for you guys?
Just focus. Laser focus. Extraordinary focus. That's going to be the key going into the national tournament in Minneapolis. It's going to be focus. Go out, focus on each day, focus on each practice, and when the time comes, focus on the preparation, the match itself, the positions at hand. Nothing changes. Just do what we've been doing this whole year. Go out there, have fun, let it fly. Just be ourselves. Every single one of us is different in our own ways, and we just have to be true to ourselves, go out there and compete to our fullest.
How did you celebrate?
I just had some pizza with my family. My mom and dad made the trip out to Pittsburgh from Danbury. So that was probably one of the cooler parts of that entire experience was having them in the stands while watching me do my thing.
You know, when we had Mueller on last week, I asked him, I said, you're 125 pounds. I always am amazed with fighters and wrestlers, how you have the discipline to stay in shape like that because you have to. He said he couldn't wait to have some Chinese food. So you mentioned pizza in the celebration. How in the world do you have the splurge? What's the go-to for the splurge?
Ah, man, the go-to. Probably pizza. Pizza or bagels, honestly. It's no knocks in North Carolina, but the pizza and bagels are a little bit different up north. So anytime I get the chance to go up north and get a nice slice of pizza, whether it's in New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, it's a little bit better.
And I will tell you now, we've been told there's a place to hit in Raleigh for Italian.
Yeah, Medio's. You been to a Medio's yet, Jacob?
I don't think I have.
Okay. You got to go in there and ask for Dave. Yeah, go to a Medio's and ask for Dave. Yeah.
That's on my list for the week after NCAAs. Don't worry about that.
All right. We'll make sure they take good care of you on that front.
It's a Wolfpack hangout spot. You walk in and you kind of get a feel for athletics history. They do a phenomenal job.
I've definitely heard about it.
Raleigh area. Yeah. So.
Hey, by the way, it was a big weekend for NC State sports. I know that you had front and center to win a championship, and you did in Pittsburgh. But, you know, the women won the ACC championship right here in Greensboro. Other sports that you follow as a wrestler at NC State would be what?
I'd say almost everything. I mean, the Pack Athletics, it's a community, and we support each other as much as we can. Whether it's women's basketball, men's basketball, swimming, diving, everything. To see another sport and NC State succeed, it's awesome. It truly is because it's more than just wrestling. It's more than just basketball. It's NC State as a whole. And to be able to succeed alongside other student athletes, it's special. It shows that there's a special bond with the athletic department.
All right, we always ask student athletes to join the show this question. I know you're a business administration major. The toughest class you had so far at NC State is what?
Oh, man, statistics.
Attaboy.
You got that, Wes?
Yeah. Attaboy. Be right there with you on that, Jacob. That math.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah, it's not for everybody, is it?
No, not at all. I'm kind of sitting there. I have laser focus in that class, and sometimes I'm like, man, what is he talking about? So then I got to go do the own work. I got to get extra help, but I get the job done, so that's all that matters.
That's the key. That's exactly right. That's the attitude you got to have.
It's all about scoreboard. And, again, congratulations on all the accomplishments, and we wish you the very best in the Nationals.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Statistics, I'm totally there.
Dialed right in.
Oh,
total
God.
Connection.
Yeah, I never got to stats, but I'd be right there with him.
I will say, though, he is spot on regarding the bagel pizza comment in the Northeast. Just saying. Not saying you can't find a great slice in the South, but hey.
On the whole.
It's a different animal.
It's the water. In the
it is the water.
That's the water.
Totally.
That's what everybody says. It's the water. They got fat heads. What are we doing? I thought the mugs.
You mean wasn't the ultimate goal?
I thought the mugs.
To get a fat head?
I thought the mugs and the coasters. I thought that was kind of going to be it, to be honest with you. Hat, shirts.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The name up in the lights
That's
is kind of
cool.
Nice.
I like that.
I mean, I wasn't expecting the fat head.
No. I wasn't expecting the fat head.
No. Well, that's what it is.
Jim Larinaga still to come. Mike Bray. Brian Morrison will be with us, the former associate commissioner for public relations men's basketball here at the ACC, kind of a historian of the event, and it's got some great stories we'll cover with Brian. Brymo, good to see Brymo, who also worked for the legendary Marvin Skeeta Francis. Skeeta. It's a whole other story for
us. But we mentioned that we have two games today, though. The practices will begin at the top of the hour with Miami. That's one of the reasons we'll have Jim Larinaga stopping by first, and Mike Bray will join us at least hopefully about an hour from now, because Notre Dame is after Miami in the practices today.
All right. Well, we got plenty to go here. By the way, congratulations to Pat Popolizio, too. Three conference titles now at NC State.
Well, and, you know, we've had a good time with wrestling.
Sure.
And the duels on Friday night here on ACC Network were incredibly successful. People loved watching it. We've talked about, too, the Olympic sports and the coverage it will get on ACC Network will reach a whole new level. And from a recruiting perspective for all these coaches, from a viewer standpoint, you get a chance to see really great student-athletes doing their thing.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about swimming, diving, wrestling, whatever the case may be, softball, baseball. I know you said, oh, it's too early. I think it's great.
Nah,
the more, the merrier. But the Olympic sports in particular, well, I know the football, basketball are always center.
Right.
And get tons of exposure, which we will continue to do. But the Olympic sports, to me, will be what really jumps off the page with this ACC network. And,
yep.
And wrestling in particular, believe it or not, with four ACC teams ranked in the top 10. And now I know we've just had the championship with NC State taking care of business. But, man, wrestling is really a hot-button issue right now in terms of big picture what the league's doing.
Sure, no question.
The leagues,
they've obviously been very good with it. And it'll be fun to see how the Nationals play out in a unique environment. U.S. Bank Field in Minneapolis is a tremendous venue.
They've already sold 45,000 tickets for it.
But not that.
People are into it, man.
Yeah.
Big time. And I was mentioning lacrosse. Men's and women's lacrosse now front and center. We're getting ready to go through that season. The league is dynamic on both sides for both the men and the women in terms of top 20 teams. So there's a lot of stuff getting ready to happen up and above, obviously, March Madness and then the ACC tournament.
Yeah. So it should be good. And excited to kind of see what transpires, not only in the postseason for that, but the postseason of some of these other sports as well. Wrestling will be fun, then we'll see how the spring falls. NC State, by the way, swimming and diving, Coach Holloway, right?
Championship.
Women's basketball.
Championship.
Wrestling.
Championship.
They can have nice things.
I've told you, all you got to do is win. That's all you got to do is win.
After you spent the fall telling them they can't have nice things.
Well, you can't have nice things when you keep losing. I mean, you know, and fans always want to blame announcers or dog eat their homework. It's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Just go win your games.
All right.
Like Kevin Keats this week. Hey, NC State, you want to add to hardware? It's pretty easy.
There you go.
Just go win some games.
There you go.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
My father's name is Randolph Childress. Played at Wake Forest from 1990 to 95. Scored over 2,000 points.
Childress, nice little cross. Oh, my. What a cross over there. Oh,
did you see that?
Forgive me.
My father shared the game with me every kind of way, even on good games, bad games, what should I do before the games and even after the games, and different variety of ways of taking care of my body, from the experience that he has from college and NBA and overseas, just passing that down to me. And then also separating coach and player and father and son now, so it's truly a blessing.
Wake Forest trying to win it at the buzzer. Childress spins, jumper, bounces, and it's good with 1.1. Into the corner, Childress takes it and makes it.
The relationship that the Childresses have with Randolph and Brandon is very unique. They're wonderful moments, but there are also some challenging times. There's a lot of aggressive counseling that our Brandon goes through with not only his dad as an assistant coach, but also playing the position that he played and just being a college player.
Penetration, give yourself a chance.
Last time we played one-on-one, it didn't end well for me. We were playing for a car. Kind of had the physical advantage over me, so he took full advantage of that, so I lost.
Packer and Durham from the Greensboro Coliseum and Complex, and interesting relationship there, and I will never forget 25 years ago, my man.
It's hard to believe when Wake was here working out yesterday, Corey Alexander and I were visiting at length with Randolph Childress about 25 years ago. And there's a story, and I don't know how public this is or how much it's been told. Wake Forest fans probably know this, and I don't know how many people in the ACC are aware. Randolph Childress sustained a shoulder injury. You're familiar with this?
I am.
Shoulder injury. The week prior to the tournament in practice, before he set the conference tournament scoring record here in the Coliseum in Greensboro, including the marvelous performance against Carolina in the championship game. This year you've seen Randolph with the torn labrum and the harness and everything on the bench for Danny Manning. And he said, well, that's where all this started. Now, at the end of the game, there's a great clip of Randolph Childress laying on the floor looking at the ceiling, right? After the final play of the game is over. And Randolph told me yesterday, I said, were you laying on the floor because your shoulder hurt? He said, that was part of it. He played that entire tournament with a bad shoulder.
I also remember when we had Dave Odom on the show and the celebration of that team and Dave and
right.
Of course, name up Raptors, all that stuff. And he talked about the tournament.
Yeah.
That 95 tournament where they got off to a terrible start. And Randolph went up to him and said, Coach, I got this.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he did and they did. And I still remember sitting in here, and every time he touched it, you knew it was going in.
You're
talking about guys getting in the zone. He
it's
was
incredible.
In it beyond belief, and those games were just spectacular.
And I think that's why this event in this building is as special as it is, because and when I tell you the walls can talk to you a little bit, that's what happens in here. Is that the walls can talk to you. And so when you get into a scenario, when you start thinking about things with how the tournament has evolved in this building, Randolph Childress in 95, Tommy Burleson, NC State, Maryland, 74, Carolina, Virginia in 82, right? Miami, Jim Larranega is going to be with us in a minute. Miami's moment in this building.
How about Notre Dame?
Notre Dame's moment in this building. It's not just self-service to the four schools that are based in North Carolina.
I would even tell you in this building, it didn't even have to be a player. I could give you the Rick Barnes, Dean Smith episode in this joint. And I still remember people going crazy.
Yeah.
Going crazy.
Yeah.
Buckner's dunk.
Greg Buckner's dunk in a quarterfinal game.
Right, and the place went nuts.
You just
thought
did.
This was a Final Four game. I mean, we can go on and on and on with Greensboro ACC tournament stories. And like I said, this is why the league can move the tournament wherever it wants. But when it comes here,
right,
it just feels right. And I'm not telling you it's not in Brooklyn or in D.C. or anywhere else or Charlotte. The cities do a great job. But this place has – you know, tradition and history and moments like you keep talking about. We could do the whole week of shows
oh, yeah.
on just moments
yeah.
of this tournament in this building.
No question.
And just go on for hours upon hours.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing when you start thinking about the tournament and the way this building sets up. And then the venue and the teams and the moments and then the players. I mean, there, and you mentioned the Big Four earlier. The Big Four was an event for those who are relatively new to the ACC footprint. The Big Four was a tournament that was played here in December. Typically the weekend of the ACC football championship now.
Right.
And they would play doubleheaders on, Friday and Saturday. And it was Duke, State, Carolina, Wake, and then they would have the winners would play the next night, and the losers would play a consolation game, and it was just, it was fascinating to watch, because, and it didn't count in the conference records, by the way. Didn't count at all in the conference records, and they would play in early December, and it was kind of like a preview of the season to come, and what teams would get better. And
can you imagine making that pitch to Roy Keats
to reset the Big
Manning,
Four,
Krzyzewski, and go, hey guys, you know, this 20 game schedule is one thing, but here's what we would like to do.
Yeah,
we want non-conference games,
non-conference doubleheaders to add to the 20 games. We'd like you all to play a couple games here to get us cranked
up. Tells me that's not going to fly.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see kind of how that has evolved into 20 games and the ACC Big Ten Challenge and all sorts of things, and just a unique scenario about the Greensboro Coliseum. And this event, as I said a moment ago, it doesn't necessarily apply to the four North Carolina schools, because there are teams like Miami that have had a moment in this building. And Jim Larrañaga joins us, the 2013 ACC tournament champion. Great to see you as always. Congratulations.
Good to see you guys.
How you doing?
I can't believe it's been 7 years.
Just like yesterday.
Although, you know, when you look at the league, the league is so well balanced. I know the Dukes and Carolinas, but you know, Duke hasn't won a regular season since I've been in the league. Virginia, Carolina, now Florida State, and you know, got a lot of good teams, a lot of good programs, and hopefully our Miami Hurricanes will get hot in this tournament and be able to make some noise.
You know what? Your teams have played well in the tournament. I mean, one of the best bar bets for any ACC fan is the fact that these Miami Hurricanes have won at least one tournament game in 9 out of 10 years. Yeah. There's not a lot of folks that would buy into it. They go, what are you talking about, Miami basketball? Yeah, consistently good.
You know, and when we first got to Miami, they had never had a regular season winning record. And then we went, I think, 7 straight years with a winning record. The last two have been tough. Mm-hmm. We've been kind of in a transition. And quite honestly, I think next year we're going to be able to make some serious noise.
You are in a spot where your team is so good with zero on the floor.
Yeah.
And I know he did not play Saturday against Syracuse, yet your team found a way to win, by the way, a record 14th ACC overtime game this year in conference play. With or without Chris Likes, what's the difference in your team?
Well, with Chris Likes, we have a catalyst, someone who can ignite us, someone who is a high-octane scorer, but also a tremendous threat defensively to harass the opponent's point guard. Without him, we get a little bigger. And actually against Syracuse, that helped us, because size against their size, because Syracuse's zone is so big. Mm-hmm. And neither team shot the ball very well on Saturday, but we found a way to win the game, and our guys left there feeling like, hey, we got a bye in the first round. That's pretty good for us right now.
Yeah.
You know, when you consider the pecking order for the league and the history of college basketball, where would Miami's basketball program fit in with the history of the ACC? Well, we're one of the newest members. We didn't have a winning record in basketball until 2011, and now we've just started over these last 9 years to make a name for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think year 10 could be one of the best years ever for our basketball program.
I want to interject this real quick. You have seen this event, and Mark and I have spent the last day or so, yesterday in Charlotte and today here, talking about this event in this building. You sat on the bench with Terry Holland. You've seen this event in this building. Is it different here, Jim, than it is other places because of the history Greensboro has?
I would say because the league originally was a North Carolina-based league, mm-hmm. with Duke, Carolina, Wake Forest, and NC State going at it in the Big Four tournament.
Yeah.
Who in the heck wants to play your conference teams in December and then have to play them twice during the regular season, then again in the tournament, and only one team is getting into the big dance?
Yeah, right.
So the history is here. But my first game, my recollection of Greensboro, I sat on that baseline in 1974.
Oh, wow.
To watch NC State beat Louisville. That's how small the venues were, just in the Greensboro Coliseum. Our Davidson team played an exhibition game against Wake Forest on an 11-foot basket. Do you know how many shots were made that day?
Zero.
No one made a shot. They thought, like, hey, if we raise the basket, it takes away the big guy. It's the opposite. Everybody misses, so you got to have big guys to rebound. So what ends up happening is that the Final Four wasn't even sold out. They gave tickets to the teams who played in the exhibition, Davidson and Wake's players and coaches got to sit courtside. Now I sit in the rafters.
What's more likely to happen? We go to 11-foot baskets or we bring back the Big Four? Well, you tell me the answer to that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither, right? You know, you're 9-5 in this building.
Nice.
Not
bad. Let's try to go 10-5. Well,
you know, but the point of it is that this is a feel good. I mean, you talk about the old school Tobacco Road teams and Greensboro and the old ACC, but you know, here's Miami that we thought was going to be a football team, football school joining the league, but your basketball success has been out of sight. And in this building, 9-5 is not bad.
Yeah. Do you guys know, and this is a trivia question for all our Miami fans. Mm-hmm. How many sports, any athletic team has sold out every season ticket for any season? Do you know who's done it?
Basketball.
Basketball is the only sport. We did it 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And now we're trying to head back and climb that mountaintop again.
You know what? I remember your first year in the league, and we were doing all the interviews with the coaches. And I still mention this on radio today. I said, you know, that Jim Larinaga told us, eyeball, hey, I'm going to be out giving out pizzas. I'm going to do whatever I can get just to get somebody to come see our games. And now look where you are.
You know, you guys have history because you've been in this league for so long. Your families have been in the league and all that. But when my staff and I moved to Miami, there are some other broadcasters like Tony Kornheiser blasted the University of Miami's athletic department for hiring an old man at 62 years old.
Dude, you're not
saying
old.
He's going down there to retire. Hey, I'm one of the younger guys in this league. You got Boeheim's 5 years older than me, Krzyzewski, Leonard Hamilton. But this is a league with a lot of experience in the coaches, not with the players.
Yeah.
Everybody's got new young guys every year. It makes it very interesting, but it's also making it real challenging now that we're at 20 games for the NCAA selection tournament and the media to try to decide how good our league is, because we're so young early, it takes us a while to get our feet on the ground. So I know we had 7 new players this year. Trying to get them acclimated to our system and our culture, a real challenge. Next year we should have a veteran team. That's why I said we should be better.
I want to spend a quick moment here on tomorrow, obviously at noon against Clemson. It's been a long time since you played them, to be honest. I mean, New Year's Eve. Also, I know you said Saturday prior to the game, Chris Likes was indefinite. Can you tell us where he is going to tomorrow yet? Do you know?
I don't know for sure for the game tomorrow, but we're going to give him the green light to try some stuff today.
Okay.
And let's see how he does, how his body reacts. He took one heck of a blow. But he is one tough competitor. He'll take on the big guys. He'll take on anybody. He's a relentless competitor.
You know, when we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, remind me of Allen Iverson. And sure enough, Coach, he pulls up his shirt. He's got an Allen Iverson t-shirt on. I mean, he is a tough dude. Like you said, it doesn't matter how big the other guy is.
You know, one of the things about being that size, he's been that size forever.
Yeah.
Tall guys, they keep growing and their coordination and stuff changes. Their body really changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Chris has been that size and has played this kind of basketball since he was in the 7th and 8th grade. And so his game is very well coordinated. He's a tremendous athlete. If he were bigger and had this kind of athletic ability, he would be out of sight.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's been dynamite to watch. I mean, he's just been awesome to watch. And what a terrific player for your program. And, by the way, we touched on this when I saw you at Notre Dame. You've had Angel Rodriguez. You've had Shane Larkin. You've had Chris Likes. You've got quite a lineage of point guards coming through that program.
And I think that's how you win. You know, in college basketball, and maybe even now in the NBA, everybody's gone to perimeter players.
Yeah.
Right? Small ball, three-point shooting. And so your size is not this significant factor that everybody's talking about. We don't hear about the Twin Towers. Except in our league, we've got a lot of teams that play big.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you see the Houston Rockets has gone with five perimeter players. So we're not quite in that category, but Chris Likes is certainly a handful for any team's defense.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate it, Coach.
And tell Fish and Caputo and Bill that we won't do too many live look-ins here in the next hour, we promise, okay?
They can scout us. I don't care. We don't change. The coaches scout each other so well.
Brad Brunell just called and said, hey, a tight shot on camera two with what's working on Likes.
Jim Larranaga, great head coach of the University of Miami with us on Packer and Durham. Stay tuned. More to come from the Greensboro Coliseum.
Packer and Durham.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
The Miami Hurricanes are on the floor. We do appreciate Jim Larranaga stopping by and having some fun with us. Just
look
to
at
start.
Our exclusive coverage here of
that's
practices.
It. That's it. That's just the start of multiple guests coming up, especially during the Power Hour with Luke Hancock, Brian Morrison, ACC historian, and Mike Bray, the head basketball coach at Notre Dame.
But first, how about plays of the year? Now, what we've got here is each school's best. Are you ready for this?
I am curious. I've not seen this yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I'm excited for you to see it because our folks, when they put this stuff together, they do the best job of anybody. So here it is, the best plays of the year in ACC basketball.
Kobe White had so many more tools around him.
There's the play of the year so far. Granted, it's early, but show me something better. Jordan Awara going up and throwing down.
Richard up ahead, juiced it. Wow. Look at Anthony, wow. Are you kidding me? Bam. Get it out.
Time to get off a heave here for Johnson. Long distance. He hits it. He hit the shot. Goodness gracious. What a half for NC State.
Transition, Blue Devils coming back. Outlaw rejected. Jarius Hamilton shut down the attempt.
Back to the Demon Deacons. Under 20 seconds. Here's Childress. He'll fire a long one. He got it. He hit the shot. He ties it at 79. 13 seconds to go.
Boeheim at half court with two.
Oh.
Hey, got it! You've got to be joking!
To the corner, Walden Tensai, got it!
Wow!
What a big shot!
A short career, too.
Holman with the highlights! Oh, man!
Amir Sims is covering his face, can't believe what he saw. Crowd's going nuts.
No timeout here. Backward will scoop it in. It's up and drops. He got it to go. Tyrese Radford made it.
For Fish as he goes to the bucket and got fouled.
That's a door slamming right there. That
Krzyzewski for the lead. Got it! With 1.8 to go!
Huge shot for the Irish.
Alvarado will look to push it. He does. Stuffed by Usher on the putback.
Aaron's shot. He trails the play. Don't do it to him, Jordan Usher. Let's give you a slam cam look. Coming at your living room.
Under a minute left to play.
Lights all the way. Scooping it up and in. At 5'7", he went up over 6 feet. And now has 25 points on the day and we're tied.
He just went right into the chest of Sims. There's nothing Sims could do.
Seven is on his way to his ninth double-double. How about that? Get up from Audis Tony. Coming off the back screen. And he gets up and the foul goes against hurt number three.
Wow. Tony. Got two shooters, Matthew Hurt and Alex O'Connell's position.
Got the miss. Jones, can he get a shot off? Yes! Oh. Jones knocks it down to tie the game as the horn sounds.
Just amazing. And instead of shooting a soft shot, Trey Jones just threw the ball right at the rim to get the long bounce out. Just amazing.
Time to be like big bro.
It's great work by our people here on ACC Network. Give you the plays of the year for each school as we head into day one of the ACC tournament presented by New York Life. When we come back, we get started with the Power Hour.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.